This program is brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. He's been called the master of the veto. Wisconsin's 42nd Governor Tommy Thompson has the record for the most partial vetoes issued in one biennial budget, 457. As you might imagine, he has some strong opinions on Wisconsin governor's veto powers, and he's here today to talk to us about that, along with his thoughts on the most recent biennial budget. Thank you for joining us, Governor Thompson.
Well, first off, Lisa, you are a wonderful person and very charming, and it's my delight and privilege to be with you this morning.
We are honored to have you here on Newsmakers.
Thank you.
I have to ask you, what have you been up to? I hear the droughts impacted the Thompson Ranch up in Illinois.
Well, the Thompson Ranch is suffering like a lot of other farmers throughout the state. Wisconsin's suffering a big drought, and Dane County has been really hit hard, but it's received some rain the last 2 weeks, and hopefully that will be enough to turn the crops around. Up in Juneau County, we've had a terrible drought on the home farm. Some of the other farms had more rain, which is amazing. Adjoining farms had more rain, but we have a paucity of hay. We really need some more rain.
So you're going to go home today and work on the hay.
I'm going to be breaking hay this afternoon and tonight, and second crop is going to be very poor, but hopefully we can get it off and get a good third crop. Otherwise, we're going to probably have to sell cattle in the fall.
Well, the story of a lot of farmers in Wisconsin.
A lot of farmers.
Right?
I feel so sorry for them because you're a victim of the weather, and if the weather doesn't rain, you can't go out. If you don't have irrigation, you can't go out there and sprinkle water on all the crops. So it's a tough time for farmers, and hopefully we'll come out of it.
I know you've also been busy being asked about this partial veto authority that the governor has. It's been in the news lately, if anybody's been watching. Do you consider yourself an expert on this topic?
Oh, I wouldn't say an expert, but I think I probably have more experience. Let's say experience. Experts connote some sort of intelligence that I'm not sure I want to claim at this point in time. All I can say is I use the veto to effectively for what I consider the good of the state. I always looked at everything, and I told people that were working with me, and I said, first off, see if it can be done legally. Secondly, make sure that it is going to be good for the state of Wisconsin. And third, be innovative if you have to be in order to accomplish the first two objectives, being legal and making sure that it's going to be good for the people of the state of Wisconsin. And I did it. I did it very effectively.
Well, speaking of that, we know that Republicans are planning to challenge Governor Evers' most recent partial veto, the one that's considered to be the most controversial. He, of course, struck a hyphen between some numbers and extended the revenue limit for pupils by almost 400 years.
Right.
So do you think that a court challenge on that particular type of veto, striking that hyphen, will be successful? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think, first off, I'm not going to criticize any governor that used the veto power. But we've changed it because I did not agree and believe that we should use the veto to increase spending. And we had to pass a constitutional amendment to limit that. I never increased spending. I didn't want to do that because I didn't think it was right. And we passed a constitutional amendment not to do it. But as far as governors having it, I think it's very important because all you have to do is look at the federal level. The President of the United States does not have any item veto. Cannot have partial vetoes.
You think he should?
Absolutely. Look what happens in Congress. They throw everything together, and the president either got to sign it all or veto it all. And they usually there's enough in there that the president wants and the people need that he will sign it. Therefore, he's being held hostage. So the president of the United States needs a partial veto as much more so than the governors do. But the governors also need it because you limit spending. And why isn't that good? You got to make sure that your government is economical and efficient. And that's why I believe very much in the item veto, that governors need to use it, because what it does, it limits spending, and that makes your government more efficient. The federal government needs it. They should have it. and hopefully someday the Congress will give them the power, the presidents the power, to veto, because they will make government more efficient and more responsive for the people of this country.
Well, in this most recent partial veto by Governor Evers, he struck that hyphen extending those revenue limits. Do you agree with that? Is that a type of veto you would have done?
It's hard to say. I don't think I would ever do that, but not because, and I'm not being critical, I just do not, I think it's sort of a Pyrrhic victory, because what he's done, he's put a tax on the property taxpayers, because the legislature doesn't have to appropriate any money, and they probably won't, so the property taxpayer now is going to be on the hook for all this increased spending that the schools are going to do out for 400 years. But here, I will tell you.
You support his ability to do the partial veto.
I don't believe that this is a good veto, because it's going to put the pressure on the property taxpayers, and they're already under a great deal of pressure, and you shouldn't put an additional burden on the property tax. We talked about the farmers at the beginning. This is going to hurt farmers and farming, the farming community, greatly in the future. And I think that to me is wrong. And I will bet you the best steak dinner and the best bottle of wine and the best glass of milk in the state that it will be changed within the next 4 years.
Through a constitutional amendment?
Constitutional amendment, yes.
Or the legislature?
Yeah, legislature. Legislature's just not going to appropriate the money. And what legislators ought to say, well, we just raised your property taxes a lot because of that veto. It looks good. It's sort of
a win for the governor, but not a win for the property taxpayers.
It's not a win for the property taxpayers. It's not a win for the state.
Well, so prior to this year, one of your prior vetoes maybe held the title for most controversial. We're going to show that particular veto on the screen from the 1991-93. That's the one.
Yeah.
You changed a provision that was intended by the legislature to allow the state to reimburse municipalities for tax credits of local property owners up to $35,000. Then your partial veto eliminated most of that language and instead combined several numbers, creating a brand new school tax credit fund totaling $319.3 million. Like you said, that type of veto was later declared unconstitutional.
We changed the Constitution.
Right.
The people of the state of Wisconsin.
Was that the right thing to do? Was that a bad veto?
It was the right thing to do because the law said it, and I went back to my premises. Is it good for the people of the state of Wisconsin? It was. Good for the property taxpayer? It was. Good for education? Yes, it was. So it was good. But I think the Constitution needed to be changed to limit governors to do that. And I think Jim Doyle also had Vanna White veto.
A Frankenstein veto.
And so it was not only myself, but it was other governors that did it as well. And I think with started with Pat Lucey, and then it went with Tony Earle, and then with me, I accomplished.
Took advantage of it.
I perfected it. And then and then Jim Doyle took it another step, and then the people of the state of Wisconsin partial veto is good.
Let's rein it in.
And they did. And I think it's the right thing to do. People, you know, the voters usually get it right. And there's no question in my mind that we governors, all of us, Democrat and Republican, took advantage of it. And as a result, other people in the state of Wisconsin said, yes, but you went too far. So let's change it. And they did. And I think in the end, the people of the state, voters usually get it right. Maybe not the first time, but they usually get it right.
So when you look back at all of your thousands of vetoes, you still stand behind them.
Absolutely. Because go back to my premises. Is it going to save money? And it was good for the people of the state of Wisconsin. If you meet those two axioms, then I think absolutely. Why not? You know, you're a governor, and I was an activist. I wanted to make sure that I could help change Wisconsin for the better. And I only wish now the legislature would have the same philosophy I did. You got to come together, you got to accomplish something, and you got to get it so that it benefits the state and hopefully saves money.
So you think the legislature in some ways is on the wrong track?
Oh, I would say that the legislature needs to start having a little bit of more comedy and getting along with each other. And
More bipartisanship?
I think so. You know, I tell people, I said, you know, you run as a Republican and you run as a Democrat. You run as an R and a D. But once you win, then you should join the W party, the winning party, the Wisconsin party, and come together and get some things done. Because there are good ideas from Republicans, good ideas from Democrats. Bring them together. Join the winning party, the Wisconsin party, and get things done.
Times have changed.
And it's happening on the school boards. It's happening on the county boards, city councils, and village boards. It's happening in Congress way too much. And it's happening in the state legislators. And I'm not casting aspersions on anybody, but I am saying, you know, it's about time that we start trying to come together and get things done. When I ran for public office way back when, a long time ago, I always had a program. What are you going to do for the people of the state of Wisconsin? Now, it seems like people just say, they're bad, I'm good, I don't like them, you like me, and they get elected. And then there's no program, no issues of what is Lisa going to do? What are you going to do for the people of the state?
Does that make you concerned for the state's future?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. But I also said once before during this interview, the people usually get it right. And the people of the state of Wisconsin are very astute. They're very considerate of the issues of this state and usually come up with good answers. And I can guarantee you that the people out there in Dodge County, where you come from, Juneau County, where I come, are going to be asking the people who are going to go door to door to them, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to get along? Can you give me some idea? What are you going to do for me?
We're getting back to that place.
I think we're going to. I don't think we're there yet, but I think this next presidential election is going to be the worst we have. I think it's going to be the worst election we've ever had as far as pointing fingers. But I also think it's going to be the election that's going to break this impasse, and it's going to get people thinking, this has got to quit. And I think Republicans and Democrats are going to come together after the next election and say, we don't ever want to do that again, and we're going to come back together, and we're going to start getting things done, and we're going to start working together.
Well,
Mark my word. There's
a prediction for you.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit more about Wisconsin state politics. I know when you were governor, you signed, I think it's 7 biennial budgets. This year, our legislature and governor started the negotiations with that $7 billion surplus on the table. What do you think that they got right in this budget? What are some good things that you
did? The shared revenue. I mean, the shared revenue was a huge success for both political parties, for the governor and for the legislature and for the people of the state of Wisconsin. For the county board members, the town board members, city council people, you know, they live by shared revenue. And there were some restrictions put in that not everybody likes. I sort of like them. But I think, you know, that there was the legislature, we're going to give you some money, but there's some parameters, some guideposts that you have to follow. I think that was a huge success. And everybody should take credit for it.
What was something in the budget you were disappointed with?
Well, the income taxes. I mean,
they didn't do enough.
Income tax. You got that kind of money. You only have that kind of money. I only wish I had it. You know, the one chance in a million to completely reform the tax system in the state of Wisconsin. Completely reform it for the better. You know, for people wouldn't say, well, we're going to go to Texas or Florida because they don't have income taxes. We're going to go to Illinois we could go someplace else. Because they have, you know, one rate, you know. It's just, you had that opportunity.
Well, there seems to be such an impasse between the governor and the legislature on that. Where is the middle
the
of the road?
I think the governor made a huge mistake because the little bit of tax he got for the very few people, you know, when you had a chance like that, you know, I think he made a mistake. I think the legislature somehow should have been able to come to grips with it and sat down with the governor and reached a decision. There has to be some give and take in this. And to me, the biggest mistake was you have all this money and you can change the competitive nature of Wisconsin for the next 25 years. You know, that is a fantastic goal. tremendous opportunity for small business, for tourism, for farmers, for manufacturers, for education. Everybody had a chance to be a big winner. And we didn't get the win.
Well, the governor says he wants to come back in the fall. He wants the legislature to consider more investments in child care. The Republicans want to come back, and they do want to try for tax reform again. Right. Where do you think is that middle ground? What's your advice to them on how they find compromise on those issues?
Remember that they are part of the W Party.
Back to the W Party.
Come back and be the winning party. Come back just like they did in shared revenue. You know, you got to give and take in this business. It's a compromise. You got that kind of money. Don't lose that great opportunity. It's there. It's there for the taking. And that's all they have to do is sit down, you know.
Just talk out where is the middle ground.
Where is the middle ground? You know, not everybody's going to be happy. But nobody's ever happy in legislation. The worst thing in the world is, you know, as the old surrogate court says, watching sausage and laws being manufactured is not a sweet or good thing to watch. It's very complex. There are a lot of moving parts, a lot of machinations, a lot of give and take. But if you do it with the intention of going back to my premises, saving money and doing good for the people of the state of Wisconsin, it's just surprising how much good you can do.
Do you support a flat tax proposal? Like, what should be changed about the tax code in Wisconsin?
Well, I think a flat tax is very promising.
No, the governor would never sign that.
He won't sign it. So, he won't sign that. So, let's flatten the rates out. Mm-hmm. And let's do something else. Let's change the capital gains tax. Let's change the sales tax. Let's do something that's going to save money for the taxpayer of the state of Wisconsin and do good. My two premises: save money, do good for the people of the state of Wisconsin, and you're going to improve the quality.
Live by that mantra.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you were criticized during your time in office for the growth of state budgets. I know the Wisconsin Policy Forum says this budget increases spending by 11.7%, the fastest growth since 1995 when you were governor. Do you think that growth in spending rate is good for the state or okay?
Sure, it's okay. You got the money. You got the money. Let's take a look at it. The state, like any government, has got problem areas. You know, there's whether it be child care, whether it be education, whether it be university, whether it be tourism, whether it be agriculture, there are problems. What should legislators do? They should solve problems. Especially when you got the capital. You got that kind of surplus. Use the capital for the good of the people of the state of Wisconsin. Instead of fixing these problems, instead of delaying them. Every time you delay a problem, you know, things get worse. They don't get better. And so it's time to solve these problems, get the money, put it in there, and fix the problem.
Well, by all accounts, the UW system was a big loser in this biennial budget. They didn't get their top priority of the UW-Madison Engineering Building.
I still hope that we're going to be able to get that.
You're feeling good about that?
I've been on this for a long time. In fact, the last engineering school was built when I was governor.
So why do you think that the legislature and the UW system are at such odds? They got a $32 million
cut. Because they don't talk, Lisa. They point fingers from Baskin Hill down here. They don't come down to the Capitol and talk to the legislators. They got to spend time talking like you and I are. Take them out for lunch. Take them out for a cup of coffee.
That's your advice to President Rothman or Speaker Voss or both?
Both. Sit down and talk. I mean, you can't solve problems if you don't talk. And issuing press releases from Baskin Hill, you know, against the legislature, what does that accomplish? The press doesn't even pick it up anymore. I mean, so what have you accomplished? You accomplished nothing.
So your advice, sit down. When you stepped down as UW system president in 2022, in your farewell address, you said, We need to make clear to all that the University of Wisconsin system should not be considered an expenditure, but rather a vitally important investment in the future. If we truly want to grow Wisconsin, there's no better place to start than with the UW system. At a time when the state continues to see surpluses at record levels, it's time to think about record investments. What is your biggest concern now for the UW system?
My biggest concern is that Robin Boss wants to sit down and talk, and he doesn't have a partner from the university system to sit down and talk to. I talk to Robin all the time, and Robin is a smart, good leader, and so is Devin Lemieux, and they want to get something done, but they want to. The university says, it's our way, stay out of our sandbox, just give us money. It's not going to happen that way anymore. The legislature wants to be part of the direction of the university. And the only way that you're going to solve that problem is sitting down and saying, all right, here's the problem area. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Okay, it's a big problem. And all Robin wants to do is for them to come down and have a solution to it. Do you need 282 individuals in that? I don't know. It seems a little much, especially when they haven't done very much as far as increasing the number of minorities. They certainly haven't increased the number of minorities that are graduating. So maybe you should look at some success formula and say, you know, you got to have some success here before you start putting anybody else on. If you show me that you're really doing something, then it's okay. And that's what the legislature wants to see. Some accountability, some responsibility, and they want to make darn sure that the university is getting the message. This legislative session and this legislature really wants people who get state taxpayer money to be responsible and accountable.
It's a good thing.
And it's a good thing, responsible and accountable. And so don't just say, well, we're not going to do that. That's what good is that?
A recent study puts Wisconsin 42nd out of 50 states in terms of public funding of four-year university systems. You've said Wisconsin has the best higher education system in the country.
I believe that.
Is it sustainable with that level of funding? With that
I'm
dynamic?
I'm telling you, Lisa, it is not sustainable, and not because of the money, because of the enrollment. We're going to have a cliff in 2026. And the university, the Board of Regents, the governor, and the legislature got to recognize this. They have got to have a blue ribbon task force to study the direction of the university. You cannot have that many buildings. You can't have that many buildings, 54 campuses in vocational education, 26 campuses in four-year university system, with a declining enrollment. You see that in Richland Center. They got down to 60. You're having the same problem down in West Bend. And you've got to come to grips with that. Just because they won't do it, and they're not going to do it, because Tommy Thompson told them that's the right thing to do. And it is the right thing to do. They got to come up with a way. They should put the vocational schools and the universities together, and not pick one over the other, put them together so that you're able to have maybe a community college and allow students that want to go to vocational education, fine, get the technical training, university. But you can't have a vocational school and a university school with adjoining, you know, parking lots and sharing classrooms. Put them together. Save some money. Be accountable. Be responsible. Come up with a program that's going to make the University of Wisconsin so that it is sustainable. It's the best system right now, but with this cliff coming in 2026, the University of Wisconsin's got some serious problems, and it's about time they wake up to it and say, let's have a
big reform,
big study, and let's look at some alternatives. There are a lot of smart people in this state. Let's come together. I want the university to succeed and be the best, but the way they're going to go, they're going to have a huge problem in 2026.
Continuing a little bit on education, another thing you were known for is as a pioneer of the school choice system.
Right.
When you were governor, you started the country's first parental choice system. At the time, it was limited to low-income families in Milwaukee. It's expanded. It's now statewide. It was expanded with more money per student in this most recent budget. What are your thoughts on how the parental choice program has changed since you were governor?
Why did we have choice? Because parents and children were dropping out. And they're still dropping out. And what we got to do is we got to have some competition. Competition is good. Bring these schools together and have them some compete.
So it's good that it's grown the way it has.
Absolutely. And right, it wouldn't have grown if it wasn't doing something right. Parents would not have chosen that. Parents are choosing by telling the public schools that they want to go over here because they think their children, Johnny and Susie, can get a better education. Well, maybe they can. Maybe the public schools have got to compete in order to be able to make sure that Johnny and Susie don't go there and say, and you, a parent, says, I want to get my Johnny and Susie to go to the public schools because they're better. That's what I want. I want to see the public school system and the choice school system to excel. I don't want to give, you know, one favoritism or, you know, give more money one or the other. I want to see them compete and say, I'm going to win. I want to make Johnny and Susie be able to read.
Regardless of where they go to school.
Be able to read in third grade. If you can't read by third grade, you know what happens.
You know, Wisconsin's going to be on some big national display in the coming year.
Yes,
we've
is.
Got the Republican debate next month. We have the convention coming to Milwaukee next year. What do you think voters want to hear from those GOP candidates?
I can tell you one thing about Wisconsin. Wisconsin is more interested in elections than probably just about any other state. I can't say any other state, but just about. I'm already getting inundated by people wanting to go to this debate. Can you get me a ticket, Tommy? I need 5 tickets, Tommy. Can you get them? I said, no, I can't. But people want to be there. What does that tell you?
What should those candidates say to those voters?
They got to say, you know, what they're going to do for America. The United States has so many problems. Inflation, taxation, China, Ukraine, the border, you know, productivity in the workforce. China is going to eat our lunch if we don't do something. There are so many problems. Social Security is going broke.
Do you think that we'll hear that, or do you think we'll hear finger pointing?
I think hear both, but I want to hear more about what are you going to do? What are you going to do for the people of the state of Wisconsin? You saw what Joe Biden did. You didn't like that. You know, the polls tell you don't like that. What are you going to do? Give me an idea. Well, you, Ron DeSantis, you, Governor Christie.
Do you think President Trump will be on that stage?
No.
You don't think he'll come? Mm. It's not worth it for him?
When you're ahead, there's an old axiom in politics. When you're leading, stay away from the debate stage as much as possible. That's why governors, Republicans, and Democrats, if they're leading in the polls, don't want to debate. The challenger who's behind always wants a debate.
So we'll have to see if he comes to Wisconsin, but you're predicting no.
Yeah.
So what's next on your agenda for the rest of summer? Where will we see you next in the political arena?
I just was out in New York last Wednesday. And opened Wall Street, rang the bell for one of my companies that we started 10 years ago and it's still going and doing well in Milwaukee.
That's exciting.
And so I was there, and I'm starting another new company that we're going to go to open up in January. And so.
So meanwhile, on the farm, we'll see you at the debate. We'll see you at the convention, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. Of course, I love politics. I love government. And. I'm sorry I didn't run last time.
Well, thank you for sitting down and talking
with
us
today. It's my pleasure, and you're an absolute delight, and thank you so very much. Are we done?
We are. Thank you, Governor
Thompson. I can't believe it. I mean, I got a lot more to say.
We'll have you back. Well, and thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again.
Yeah, I want to thank the viewers. They're great. Thank you very much, all of you.
and join us as we sit down with the decision makers and highlight the issues that make a difference for all of us.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.